Let's get to our guest. Willem Sels is with us, Managing Director and Global CIO at HSBC Global Private Banking and Wealth, joining from Singapore. Willem, thanks for being with us. So much to unpack when China, when we consider the story there, the reopening, we know what it's done to the healthcare situation, which is in and of itself tragic. We had a lot of weakness in crude oil today on the notion that we're going to see a contraction in demand from China. But if you look at some of the ADRs here in New York, big rally following that rally in Hong Kong. Some of this was tied to the story on Ant Group. Give me your sense of where we are in the China story as it relates to equity markets right now.
Yeah, we're certainly in the bullish camp. You know, we have an overweight on mainland China. We have an overweight on Hong Kong and on the ASEAN region as well. And when I travel here, I see a lot of activity, a lot of optimism with the business owners that are often our clients. They see a lot happening in terms of reopening. They see a lot of happening in terms of supply chain reorientation to ASEAN. And frankly, there is a lot of innovation there as well. Clearly, the reopening in China is not going to be a straight line. You know, it might peak earlier in the cities than in the rest of the country, but there is a lot of pent-up demand. Remember, in the US and in Europe, when we finally reopened, a lot of pent-up demand, and you could see consumption growth in the order of 8% in China this year, which, you know, should really lead to that rebound. So it's more of a question of when we will see that GDP reaccelerate rather than, you know, an if in our view.
So it seems like the China trade right now is independent of this other trade, which has certainly the U.S. and a lot of other investors around the world in thrall, which is the question of the Federal Reserve and, you know, how long it keeps rate high and how hawkish it remains, et cetera. Is that how you feel about China? And is it a case now of saying, well, it's going to take a while maybe to reap all the benefits, but, you know, pick your spots, even some of the ones that used to be poison like property?
Exactly. So it is somewhat decorrelated. I mean, obviously, we live in a global world and we're all, you know, linked to some extent. But it is the case, I think, that Europe and the US are slowing down and China sees that upside. So very different outlook in terms of GDP growth and then in terms of earnings as well. Plus, obviously, China is still a very cheap market, you know, which for us, therefore, it is an overweight. Where we go is you know, that is also in contrast with the US and in Europe, where consumer discretionary is being hammered. In China, we actually go into areas such as airlines, you know, leisure, you know, and sort of the online e-commerce, because we think that will get a lift from, you know, that reopening and the savings, frankly, that consumers there have accumulated for many months, as you will understand.
So, Willem, I'm kind of curious to the degree to which your thesis on China is predicated on this idea that, yes, we're reopening, but a lot more in the way of government stimulus is required, and Beijing will come through, and that's just supports the story that we're talking about. Is your thesis here contingent on more stimulus from the government?
It's mostly contingent on, you know, the commitment of the government to stick to the reopening. And I do think that, you know, the measures on the reopening as well as the measures on real estate, you know, signal much more of a balancing act between, you know, growth and, you know, managing those issues. You know, whilst the zero policy COVID puts you know, complete emphasis on, you know, managing that, but, you know, accepting the negative growth consequences now is much more of that balancing act, and therefore, you know, that you know, should continue to lead to, you know, a good support for the economy. We do expect some fiscal support and some monetary support. But it's really just sticking to that to that reopening, which will do the trick in our view.
As U.S. stocks, the big tech names, you know, Apple falling back below the $2 trillion cap, no one's in that $2 trillion cap anymore. It's a headline, but nonetheless, there is a sense there's this pull away from the, you know, the five or six stocks that led two or three years of big rallies in the U.S. stock market. Is this another way in which China then is perhaps another alternative? Because it looks like the light's getting a little bit brighter for tech in China. You see the news on Alibaba leading the advance in the Golden Dragon Index, when Ant's approved fundraising plan gave everybody a sense that, yeah, the regulatory clampdown is easing.
Yeah, so I mean, I wouldn't necessarily play the Chinese stocks, the Chinese tech versus the US tech. I think Chinese tech is benefiting, especially the names that you're mentioning, from that reopening as well. On the US tech side, we actually, I think, have an above consensus view on value on growth versus value by balancing it. Most houses, I believe, are still in the value camp, in part because obviously we believe that we have seen most of the move in the treasury market. We're overweight on bonds. We do think that the market is probably too optimistic about cuts in 2023, but nevertheless, bonds are stabilizing. That should help technology. There is still that headwind, obviously, from everything that the tech side that has advertising revenues in particular. So you still need to pick your battles and pick your stocks. But we're starting to see some interest coming back from investors into those better down stocks, especially the household names in the US.
So I'm wondering whether, in terms of strategy here, whether the plan is to go kind of full frontal at Chinese assets, or maybe look at markets that are correlated. And I'm thinking of places like Vietnam, it's Taiwan, it's South Korea. So you play economies and markets that kind of trade with China to a great degree, and perhaps take a little bit of your exposure out of kind of direct investment in China. Is that a way to work it, or maybe that's kind of a fool's errand?
When you're talking full frontal, for us, the full frontal really is the investment grade bonds market, right? So that is something that people, especially those with cash that haven't put it to work, that's the first stop. And then in the equity market, global equities, is a mixed picture. Europe in particular still probably needs to see some downside to US, needs to see downside on the earnings, but has a lot of quality stocks. So probably the US better than Europe. Asia as a whole is our biggest overweight, which includes, China, which includes ASEAN countries, some of them that you mentioned, and Hong Kong as well. So a big opportunity set there, very different in terms of the exposure to the direct reopening in China. If you're more worried about the timing of the reopening in China, then you can go more into sort of the structural demand growth. For example, the supplier reorientation, which is really helping ASEAN countries. And in that case, Thailand is an option, Indonesia is an option.
Wilhelm, let me a broad, big question. By the end of the year, will the U.S. 10-year yield be? You've got about 20 seconds to answer.
Yeah, so we believe it's going to go to 2.5% if we do get an if indeed we get the market speculating on rate cuts in 2024, and indeed as well if you get the US economy slowing down, especially if you go to the consensus of 0.3% for the US GDP.
Willem, thank you so much for being with us. Happy New Year. Willem Sels is Managing Director, Global CIO at HSBC Global Private Bank and Wealth.